It's, you know, it really is a strange thing to stand in front of a room full of people and they're all looking at you. But it's great to be here. I have tabled a relatively extensive report, which includes some of the activities that I've been involved in over the past 3 years since the last BC Regional Convention. The report highlights many of the activities in which the members of our union and our regional council have been involved. It's been an incredibly busy period in the history of this union, and we should all be proud of the work that we've done. Together, we have promoted the PSAC. We've confronted our various employers who have demanded concessions and rollbacks at every turn. We've defended our rights both in the workplace and in the broader society. We've proudly promoted the contribution of our work to the public. We've actively spoken out about the type of society in which we want to live and to work. And we've advanced the cause of social and economic justice here in BC, across the country, and around the world. Every one of these struggles is critically important to all of us. On the bargaining front, the past 3 years have been really, really difficult. In particular, for those negotiating with the federal government and its agencies, our employers, emboldened by the regressive actions of governments in other jurisdictions, struck out at our bargaining units, wanting rollbacks and concessions. Members at Parks Canada had their first strike against their employer. Their commitment to justice and the pay comparability study that was done for the Table 2 members set the tone for things to come. And all of us owe these members a huge debt of gratitude.
Applause.
And that's for the Parks members, just to be really clear. Members at CCRA, or CRA, as it was known by the time they were in a legal strike position, also went to bat, committed to fight for improvements in the collective agreement for term workers, those workers who have been traditionally exploited by their employer. And the union made significant inroads. The members at CRA must also be committed for their solidarity and support of their bargaining team. Not surprisingly, the employer, it seems, is hell-bent on revenge. Having decided to close cash and counter service at locations across Canada, which may result in the elimination of approximately 1,700 jobs. But predictably not without one hell of a fight from the members and leadership of the Union of Taxation Employees and the Public Service Alliance of Canada. For our Treasury Board members, the employer made every attempt to pit bargaining table against bargaining table and classification against classification in an effort to divide and conquer the solidarity of PSAC members, but we persevered. During the negotiations process, the employer decided to stop paying the terminable allowance that many of our members at Table 3 had come to count on as part of their salary, which was an automatic $500 a month hit. For others, the employer chose to ignore findings from a comprehensive study they had conducted jointly with the union related to comparability of rates of pay. Concessions for those working variable shift schedules were also part of the employer's wish list. All in all, the employer's strategy was one focused on prolonging the process as long as possible and frustrating the members in the work sites and the bargaining team members. And while some of you may have been disappointed with some of the setbacks and concessions, I believe that given the trends in public sector bargaining that we've seen lately, the only reason we did as well as we did was because of our members. They remained united and committed. So we have to thank everyone in this room. I want to thank each and every one of you who participated in this last round of bargaining, either as a bargaining team member, an area strike coordinator, a strike captain, a picketer, or a member with other related responsibilities to carry on the strike. Because we did really good work. We did really good work this round, and it's because of our members that we did as well as we did.
BC rocks.
That's right, sister. BC does rock. We continue to have our challenges ahead of us, especially for those members employed in the federal public sector and agencies with the introduction of the Public Service Modernization Act, which will affect bargaining, strike votes, staffing, and essential services, just to name a few. We are, however, stronger, more organized, with more members engaged than ever before, and I'm confident that we will rise to those challenges. Now, here in BC, we're seriously facing some big challenges. We have a monumental battle which will play itself out in just 40 days. That's right, 40 days on May the 17th, Election Day. The provincial election. So much rides on the outcome of this election, and I urge each and every member in this room to get involved so that we, the workers of British Columbia, have some say in the policies and priorities of the next provincial government. Just 4 years ago, the current Liberal provincial government swept into power with the largest majority in Canadian history. And I'm not going to bore you with my personal opinion on that event. It would be full of expletives. I will, however, review some of the subsequent actions that this government has taken, which I really hope you will take into account when you are at the ballot box next month. And better yet, I hope it inspires you to take action in the next few weeks, those 40 precious days, and actively work to ensure that your coworkers, friends, family members and neighbors are informed of the issues and record of the Campbell government. So what's the provincial government done for you and your community? They've closed 113 public schools and increased class size. We now have 2,558 fewer teachers than we did 4 years ago. Post-secondary tuition rates have risen on average 76% after the government lifted the tuition freeze in 2002. That's only 3 years ago. Thanks to the Liberal government, we now allow kids, 12-year-old kids, to enter the workforce and work 20 to 35 hours a week. Last time I checked, a 35-hour work week was pretty close to a full-time job. Did you know that these are the most regressive child labor laws in all of North America? How's that for a claim to fame? Doesn't that make you feel good as a resident of BC? They implemented a two-tier minimum wage. We now have that fabulous thing called a training wage. $6 an hour for the first 500 hours worked, $6 an hour. $6 does suck. Imagine living on $1,000 a month before taxes. Imagine supporting children on $1,000 a month. That is just simply not a living wage. They shut the BC Human Rights Commission down. We're the only province or territory without a Human Rights Commission. They closed the Ministry of Women's Equality and cut off all funding for women's centers. They made $1.5 million in cuts to victims' assistance and sexual assault centers. Legal aid offices were reduced in number from 42 to 7. And workers working in that field were cut from 460 workers to 155. They cut social service benefits to single parents and to older recipients. In terms of health care, and I'm sure many of you have noticed this, they delisted services including your eye exams and supplemental therapies. They increased the cost of drugs for seniors and low-income families, reduced the number of long-term care facilities, and made cuts to home support and home care. They've privatized BC Rail. BC Ferries is no longer a Crown corporation, and they see fit to send their new ferry work out of the country for building so we don't even create Canadian jobs. They've also privatized one-third of BC Hydro. They've privatized 9,000 health support service jobs, and this includes laundry, cleaning, and food services. Predictably, the wages of those workers who now work for private contractors are no longer a living wage of in and around $18 an hour, but are down rock bottom at $10 an hour. Again, a huge difference economically for the worker. And that, brothers and sisters, as you know, is just part of the Liberal story. Tomorrow, after BC Federation of Labour President Brother Jim Sinclair speaks to us, we're all going to go into workshops on the Count Me In campaign. And I hope that you will leave the convention feeling equipped and empowered to engage in the political process leading up to the provincial election. From now until May the 17th, which is it's election day, each and every one of us must engage in the political process. And while we know that the real political change comes from our engagement and action in between elections, this election is a crucial one. Our challenge is to elect a government that reflects our values and vision of what a fair and just society is. Where poverty is the enemy, not public services. Where accessible health care is a right and not a privilege just for the rich. Where women's equality is reality and not simply a slogan. Where education is seen as an investment in our young people and not a strain on our resources. Where a strong economy means opportunity for all, not unlimited wealth for the few and a growing gap between the rich and the poor. Where seniors are treated with dignity and with respect. I know that we have an opportunity here in BC to make that happen, and I know that each of you can make a difference in this provincial election. Internally, there is also some very significant work that lies ahead of us as a convention body. This convention provides an opportunity to look to the future, to set priorities, and to determine what kind of union we want the PSAC to be. The next few days are our opportunity to positively influence the political agenda of our union for years to come. Now, talking about influence, many of you were here. How many of you were here at the last regional convention? So about a third, maybe 40%. Many of you then will recall at our last regional convention, we had a very lively debate on the election of the regional executive vice presidents and alternates taking place at the regional conventions instead of at the national convention. The resolution was adopted at the national convention, resulting in a constitutional change, constitutional amendment. And this weekend, delegates here at this convention will be making PSAC history, because you will be electing the regional executive vice president and alternate here in the region, thereby giving more members opportunity to participate in that democratic process. Unfortunately, when this decision was made, there was not an increase in the regional allocation of funds for the convention expenses. Your regional council is committed to making every effort to facilitate membership participation, and we recognize that a critical piece of this is quite obviously the regional convention. As a result, this region set aside approximately 40% of its annual budget over 3 years to finance this convention. This does not mean, however, that we can pay leave without pay for delegates for today, or for hotel and per diems for those of you who live closer than 60 kilometers from the hotel. I will share with you that while the other regions also face this financial dilemma, our region is the only region that was able to make this level of funding available to delegates. And I think we should commend the council for that. Now, many locals, branches, components, area councils, and committees have also financially assisted in ensuring their delegates could attend, and I also want to acknowledge their contribution to the democratic process. Next year, the PSAC convention will celebrate the 40th anniversary of this great union, and will hopefully provide the necessary funding to facilitate membership participation in the regional conventions. Yeah. I always figured that at 40 you really started to know what was really important. And I think that regional conventions are really important. And it'll be the 40th birthday, so hopefully organizationally there'll be that uptick. Now, as your regional executive vice president and as a member of the Alliance Executive Committee and the National Board of Directors, I've had the responsibility of representing the BC membership at the national level of this union. This responsibility has been an incredible privilege, and I've made every effort to ensure that a BC perspective is brought to the national debate. I assure you, your voice is articulated and put forward at the national level of our union. We have a huge amount of work to get done this weekend. You will debate resolutions that guide our union here in BC and at the national level. You will elect a new regional council, which will work with you and your locals for the next 3 years. You will also have the opportunity to participate in the political action workshop tomorrow morning. We have a great, great region filled with skilled, articulate, creative, committed, and hardworking activists. This is a dynamic union, and it is our union. It's ours. every one of this weekend, every one of this weekend has the opportunity to influence and contribute to our future so that we can continue to build our union and make our world a better place. Thank you, and I hope you have a fabulous convention.